Attention business owners, are you battling inflation costs and rising fees? Let First Federal Bank and Trust help. We're offering a free analysis of your current merchant processing fees. You don't even have to be a customer. See if our comprehensive merchant services can save you money and help your business thrive. Contact our cash management team today to get started. First Federal Bank and Trust, your partner in success. Member FDIC.
The BDRS Black Friday sale is happening through December 7th at Carol's Furniture. Save up to $1,000 on select BDRS Black mattresses and adjustable bases. Save up to $600 on select Harmony Lux mattresses and adjustable bases. Our expert staff at Carol's Furniture will help you find the perfect balance of individualized support, motion separation, and softness, easing pressure and reducing aches and pains. The BDRS Black Friday event, now through December 7th at Carol's Furniture in downtown Sheridan and on social media.
Get ready for some holiday cheer. Ho, ho, ho. Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. This holiday season, we're giving away $2,000 in gift cards. Starting Monday, December 9th through December 20th, we're giving away four $50 gift cards every weekday. You can enter as many times as you like. No purchase necessary. You don't have to wait. Sign up today. Merry Christmas from the Sheridan Commercial Company at 303 Broadway.
Are your tires ready for winter? Worn tires can be dangerous on the icy roads. For sure-footed traction, put your trust in a set of new tires. Now till the 15th, save on tires at Midas with these special offers. Buy three, get one free on Nexen tires. Or save with rebates up to $120 on Nitto tires or up to $100 on Cooper tires. One of the most important safety features on your car are your tires. Midas will keep you safely rolling along without breaking your budget. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
What if your space could tell your story? At J Home Design, we don't just design rooms. J Home Design creates spaces that reflect who you are. We believe every story is different, just like every home. The J Home Design team dives deep into your vision, style, and needs to craft environments that reflect who you are. Space planning, furniture selection, or lighting, every design is a fresh, personal collaboration. J Home Design, creating lifestyles and telling your story through your home. Located in the old train depot across from the Sheridan Inn.
Santa's bag is packed with great loan rates at Sunlight Federal Credit Union. They are helping Santa deliver joy this season. If you need a new sleigh, glide away with rates as low as 4.49% annual percentage rate on new vehicles or 4.74% on pre-owned vehicles. And if you're putting a new home on your wish list, unwrap a 30-year mortgage starting at just 5.5% APR. Available with approved credit. Equal housing lender, member NCUA, Sunlight Federal Credit Union, building a brighter future together.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
Zonta Club of Wyoming Bighorns is participating in 16 days of activism, Monday, November 25th through Tuesday, December 10th, raising awareness of the global pandemic of women's rights violations. Look for our members' orange clothing and ribbons, as well as sponsored messages throughout the community. Learn more through the Zonta ad in this week's Country Bounty.
From Sheridan Media News, it's time for Open Line Friday. Your chance to join the conversation and talk about what you want to talk about. Call the Jackson Electric Open Line at 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. And now your hosts for Open Lines, Ron Richter and Aaron Palmer.
Good morning and welcome to the Jackson Electric Open Line Friday. Everybody here after a few weeks of doing other stuff. Mr. Ron Richter, how are you?
Good.
You had a good show last week. I wasn't able to come in. Was it 2 weeks?
Yeah, I wasn't here last week. Nobody was.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, so 2 weeks ago.
The day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So, kind of under the weather, but no big deal. And you guys filled in and kind of through the... It was like a last minute kind of thing, but you guys had a great show.
Yeah.
You had three of you in here talking about stuff.
Talked about
the fight.
The Mike Tyson
fight. Yeah.
Or the lack thereof.
Right. And sports in general.
I guess you could call it that.
Interesting stuff.
Did you watch the fight?
I saw bits and pieces of it because, you know, everybody was talking about the streaming and I heard about it kind of as it was happening the that snafu, people were having problems. Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, I'm not paying for this. It's not. I'll check out the highlights on ESPN.
I didn't pay for anything.
No.
We get Netflix, so.
Well, we did too, but I didn't even bother looking it up because
I'm not going to say it out loud, but I will. We don't pay for Netflix.
I didn't hear a thing.
But we get it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Pretty much like every streaming device under the sun. If you know what you're doing, you can get it without paying for it.
If you take the quarter and put it in the little box and it set it at, yeah, I know, whatever it is.
it was
kind of like watching the movies when we were in the 80s where they were all snow, but you could still get a glimpse here. You remember that?
Unfortunately, I do.
Yeah. Now you can just get it on your phone. Crazy.
I will say this, though, about the fight, just to put an end to it, it was fixed.
That's kind of what I'd heard. And the stuff that I heard, yeah, there were times where you guys were talking that Tyson, you could just tell that it seemed like he was holding back because there were times where Jake Paul was wide open. He could have planted him on his carcass.
Yep.
And he didn't do it. So for whatever reason, and granted the guy's pushing 60, I think he's my age, 58. And see,
that's the thing. Watching it live, I didn't think that. I was just like, yeah, he just looks old.
Yeah.
But then going back and watching some of the replays of some of the rounds and whatnot, I was like, yeah, there's absolutely no way that there was no take on that. I don't care what anyone says. You know, you can. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but that was fixed.
Well, and didn't we hear after the fact that Tyson had to go so many rounds before he got paid?
Yeah, there was basically a guide that he had to go by, a contract.
Two rounds, you got this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't, you know.
We'll never know. To me, it didn't look like it was entertaining.
There's a reason boxing is dead, and that was pretty much the punctuation mark on the end of it.
Yeah. And that was that way back in the 80s when we were kids, you know. I mean, sure, there was Sugar Ray, but there hadn't been any really good fighters since Ali and Norton and all those guys.
I disagree. You know? I think the Hagler Hearns series.
Sure, sure.
Was huge.
But I'm just saying overall.
Yeah, when it began to die.
But when Tyson came in, it was like everybody was excited about it because here's this guy that comes in and he is just like, he looked unbeatable. And in a lot of instances, was unbeatable. And all through the 80s, it was fun to watch.
Yeah,
and then now it's just, I couldn't name you another boxer to save my soul. I have no idea.
Yeah, I know.
I think these younger kids nowadays are more into the MMA fighters and that kind of stuff.
Everyone's into the MMA stuff, you know, and it's like MMA has replaced boxing pretty much in the public fanfare. But I think the last fight I paid for was Mayweather versus Pacquiao. And that was horrible. Halfway through the fight, I'm like, why did I spend $100 on this?
All right, we need to get going.
And then we find out that Pacquiao was injured and shouldn't even have been
fighting. Yeah, they should have postponed it.
Yeah.
We better get going here. What's our poll question this week, Mr.
The first
Ron?
Northern Bank of Wyoming poll question. How concerned are you that the screwworm infestation in Mexican cattle could affect beef prices in the U.S.? 69% very concerned, 12% somewhat, 12% not, and 6% what is this?
Okay. Now, did you know about this?
I had not even heard about it. Honestly,
this, and it's nothing that's happened in the U.S. The screw worm infestation is actually, they found it in southern Mexico.
Now, this is actually, it's the larvae of a fly, correct?
Yeah. And the reason they call it a screw worm is because what it does and the problem it creates is that it actually feasts on living tissue and cows, cattle mostly are the ones that are affected, but it can affect anything, including humans. And these larvae basically get on the skin and they start eating their way into live flesh. And as they go in, they use a, they do it like in a corkscrew pattern, which therefore call it a screw worm.
Right.
So this is what it does, and it creates problems. It obviously makes sores, blah, blah, blah. And then it, and it affects cattle. And then the, this was eradicated back in the 60s in the U.S. So we haven't had, you know, a huge problem with it or much of a problem at all. But some of these countries like Mexico, Latin American countries that, you know, don't have the resources, we'll say, of, say, the U.S., it's a continued problem. So they found this in southern Mexico, and it's making a migration north, this fly.
Well, and the thing is, I know a lot of people are like, wow, you know, it's in Mexico.
Right.
That doesn't affect my cattle. It's like, little do you know that most of the meat you eat comes from Mexico.
Or a lot of it.
Yes.
And that's the problem.
And
that's what's going to affect the price, because we're all of a sudden, we, even if it's only 20% of the meat that we sell in the U.S. comes from Mexico, Argentina, whatever,
mm-hmm.
they have cut off all imports of that because they're trying to keep this out of the U.S.
Right.
So if 20% of your meat supply goes away overnight, what does that do to the price of the rest of it? It goes up because
it's going to go up.
Right.
I mean it's but yeah, I was kind of surprised at how much meat actually comes from Mexico.
Yeah. And I don't know the exact number, but it's a significant portion of what we have.
Let's just put it this way, it's more than you think.
Right.
A lot of people think, well, I'm eating a homegrown beef. It's like, no, you're not. You're eating beef from Mexico. Come on now.
Right. And it depends on where you get it from. And there's a lot of people, especially in our part of the world and in Texas or wherever, that they can get local beef. And that might be your best option anyway moving forward. And, you know, maybe not get it from some of your huge box stores. So we'll see. Anyway, that's what the poll question is. That's one of the topics we're going to be talking about today. If you have something you want to talk about or you want to chime in on this, numbers for Mr. Ron are
672-5763, 674-4444, and 674-4443.
Okay. We do have a caller on hold. We're going to take a quick break. Caller, bear with us. We'll come back. We'll get to you on the flip side of this on the Jackson Electric Open Lines Friday.
Call Jackson Electric and you'll see the light. Maybe it's as simple as adding an extra outlet. Maybe it's as detailed as wiring an industrial building. Maybe it's high efficiency LED lighting or a fire alarm system. Or phone system installation and repair. Maybe it's data system wiring, irrigation wiring, or electric motor sales and repair. Commercial, residential, industrial, agriculture, above ground, below ground. Call Jackson Electric and you'll see the light at 1851 North Main in Sheridan.
Get ready for some holiday cheer. Ho, ho, ho. Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. This holiday season, we're giving away $2,000 in gift cards. Starting Monday, December 9th through December 20th, we're giving away four $50 gift cards every weekday. You can enter as many times as you like. No purchase necessary. You don't have to wait. Sign up today. Merry Christmas from the Sheridan Commercial Company at 303 Broadway.
Come to the Kendrick Mansion's annual Holiday Open House for live music, Father Christmas, and Figgy Pudding on December 6th, 7th, and 8th from 4 to 7 p.m. This year, on December 6th only, Shanna Marie Moments Photography will be offering free photos with Father Christmas. Admission is $4 per adult and children are free. The Kendrick Mansion is located at Trail End State Historic Site in Sheridan. For more information and the full schedule of events, visit trailend.org or call 307-674-4589.
It's time once again for Moss Holders Design Center's annual snowflake sale. Stop by Moss Holders, choose the items you want to buy, and then you'll get to draw a snowflake for a random discount. Every customer will receive at least 10% off, but several customers will get 15%, 25%, and 30% off their purchases. One lucky customer will draw our 50% off snowflake, receiving half off their entire purchase. Let Moss Holders add some fun to your Christmas shopping this year. Moss Holders Snowflake Sale runs through Monday, December 23rd. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
J Home Design is a fine furniture store offering professional design services with over 2,000 manufacturers to choose from.
We don't just sell furniture, we sell a lifestyle. Inspired by Wyoming's natural beauty and Sheridan's unique charm, J Home Design in Sheridan offers everything from custom upholstery, luxury gifts to stunning lighting and fine furniture. Explore pieces that blend contemporary elegance with a touch of Wyoming. J Home Design, creating lifestyles through design, refining it with timeless pieces. In the old train depot across from the Sheridan Inn.
Welcome back to Public Pulse. You could join the conversation on the Jackson Electric open line by calling 307-674-4443 or 307-674-4444. Once again, your hosts for Public Pulse.
Good morning. Aaron Palmer, Ron Richter, and we're talking about this screwworm infestation. Well, I don't want to call it an infestation, but they found screwworms in cattle in southern Mexico. And the poll question, Mr. Ron, was, again,
first Northern Bank of Wyoming poll question, how concerned are you that the screwworm infestation in Mexican cattle could affect beef prices in the U.S.? 69% very concerned. 12% somewhat, 12% not, and 6% are wondering what a screwworm is.
And why does it matter?
I had no idea when I saw the poll question the other day. I was just like,
and then what
you
is
know,
this?
I did a little search and then, you know, started digging into it a little bit. Yeah. And I'm like, well,
you it's know. Just, it's one of those things that I heard about, you know, we all thumb through news, you know, suppliers, I guess, or whatever you want to call them, news sources. And come up with things that, you know, are interesting. And I saw this and I'm like, wow, really? Because beef prices are pretty high as it is.
Is it? Yeah.
And so are. I was, you know, a little concerned going, geez, is my steak going to be like $100 here in, you know, 6 months or right. what? So, I was concerned and I read it. And I honestly didn't know anything about this. And as we said earlier, this fly or this worm, both, have been eradicated in the United States. Maybe not 100%, but for the most part, since the 60s, you know, so it's not something that we here in the States have really had, you know, to deal with at least much. But in some of the Latin American countries and elsewhere in the world, this seems to be, you know, pretty prevalent. And when they found this in the cattle in Mexico, there's a lot of beef that comes into the U.S. from Mexico. Mm-hmm. And whether people know that or not, it's a truth.
They don't.
And, you know, I don't know the exact percentage. If somebody does know, let me know. Let us know. Anyway, whatever it is, it's a significant amount. And so that's what's going to cause, or their thinking is going to cause, this rise in beef prices, is because the supply is going to come down by whatever it is.
Well, you know, when I dug into this a little bit, I started realizing that we're having a lot of issues with our food supply.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of salmonella and mm-hmm. E. coli popping up literally every week. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, you know, if you want to target Americans, what do you target?
Food.
Yep.
Well, any population, because that's something that we all have.
Especially Americans, because right. we indulge.
Sure.
You know, sure. I mean, we aren't eating just to
survive.
Yeah, survive and nutrition and whatnot. Yeah, some people are, but
for the most part, we're doing it because we enjoy it.
Yes, we're indulging. Yeah. And that's our God-given right.
Okay, but we've got a caller that's waiting. Caller, you're on the Jackson Electric Open Line Friday. Thank you for waiting and go ahead.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I wanted to remark to two things, but I would like to also remark to your poll question.
Okay.
I'm assuming that those cattle are entering the United States on hoof and going to slaughter yards for packaging. Nobody is packaging them up down in Mexico and shipping them in on refrigerated trucks. So if you know where the cattle are going, it should be an easy way to try and determine how egregious this problem really is. Are they going to Iowa beef packers in Iowa? That's a huge, huge conglomerate. Mm-hmm. Where are these on the hoof cattle ending up, yeah, if that's how it is? Now, the other thing I wanted to say this morning is talking about the West Corridor project. I did not attend, but I, understanding that neither did Mr. Mullinex or Mr. Forbes, they are the gentlemen whose pit on Big Goose Road, the Forbes Mullinex pit, has caused the difficulties that they would like the taxpayers to cure for them. But in reference to this, the 800-pound gorilla in the room is the Forbes pits up by the airport. They are obligated to go west and join up with the pit down below in the river bottom, down there on Big Goose Road. Those pits up there are huge. It's 1,665 acres of land that can be mined for gravel. Sally Forbes bought it. It was state land at a point in time, I think in 99. They haven't, I believe, begun any gravel hauling up there yet. They said at the time they wanted Carbon Hill Road closed. It wasn't. They're obligated to go that route, but to do so for the massive, massive pit up by the airport, they would have to go west, which means coming down in elevation, using a right-of-way across several deep gulches and over a Phillips Conoco gasoline pipeline that comes down from Montana, crosses in that area, goes over to the tank farms on Mead Creek, and then further south. Now, at that time, I believe it was Cam Forbes who indicated, well, we could take our gravel off Upper Road. We could use the Upper Road for whatever they wanted to use it for, and we could take Swaim and go to 332. Well, we know that other gravel pits south of the airport, along the escarpment, the Canal pits, Mike Canal, the Garber Agri pits, all of those come in on 332, 335. They hook up at Brundage Lane where Starbucks is. They get on the interstate, I-90, and they go out to the new exchange and go up to the mall next yard. They are already traveling on existing state highways, okay? My thought is the problem that is presenting itself on Big Goose, that is an 80-acre gravel pit. Now, as far as what Forbes have out at Becton Stock Farms, it's only 3 acres. It's a sneeze in a hanky. So your real prize is how are they going to get this massive amount of gravel off the upper escarpment there? And even in the Vista West reports in regard to this, going clear back to 2008, and Vista West is no longer in business, they indicated, well, if we came off of Upper Road and went across Big Goose, we could connect up to the Gillespie Draw, the area of controversy. There was so much pushback on Upper Road at the time that Mr. Forbes wanted to do a little solar farm up there from individuals who have homes up there. Piper Cross, et cetera. I'll get off the phone.
Go ahead. Just go ahead and make your point quick is what I was going to say.
My point is do not assume that that West Corridor is going to come off of Big Goose and go up Gillespie Draw. It is entirely possible it could have the overpass commence up at the airport runway property, at the end of the runway property, cross Big Goose and connect to Gillespie Draw at a higher elevation because of concerns of snow backing up if you started down at ground level and went up the draw. So, again, now there's just new people, new individuals to kind of push around on this. And what I wanted to say is sometimes you get your eye, you're not on the ball, you're looking at something else and you miss the play. So, anyway, that's all I wanted to say, and thank you for entertaining me, gentlemen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. There you go. Thank you for the comment.
Yeah.
Numbers to call if you've got something that you want to talk about or you want to talk about the screwworm infestation that we're talking about or anything else. Numbers, Mr. Rowan.
672-5763, 674-4443, or 674-4444. And yes, the First Northern Bank of Wyoming poll question, how concerned are you that the screwworm infestation in Mexican cattle could affect beef prices in the U.S.?
Overwhelmingly, people are concerned.
Yeah. 69%.
I think they should be.
Well, it is a concern. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's not even, you know, I kind of alluded to it earlier, but our food supply is being tainted.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like every week we have another E. coli, Salmonella outbreak. You know, so I don't know. It's sooner or later, someone's going to figure out that's what you go after.
Yeah.
If they haven't already. Yeah.
That's, yeah, that would be the easiest way to do it. It's back, you know, back in the medieval times, they would poison wells.
Yes.
You know, same thing.
Well, yes. Yeah, I mean, you go back to like the kings and queens and all this of England, mm-hmm. and you had people that would eat the food first.
Well, yeah. Make sure it wasn't poison.
Yeah.
If they dropped, it was like, well, I ain't eating that.
the old guinea pig.
Here's what's going on, because if people are not aware of what's going on, the reason that there's concern about this pest, even though it's not in the U.S. at this point, it's in southern Mexico, it's in Latin American countries in South America and Central America. So that's where this is coming from. But a lot of the beef that we have in this country is imported from Mexico.
Yes.
So that's the concern. They're trying to keep this pest, the screw worm, out of the United States. So they have basically shut down all imports of cattle from Mexico at this point. So that's reducing the supply of beef in this country, which will
in turn raise the prices
of what we have here already. So here's what it is. This screw worm, what it does, here's the danger. When they are fly larvae, okay, they burrow into the flesh of the living animal, and this will cause serious, often deadly, damage to the animal. It can infest livestock, pets, wildlife, occasionally birds, and in rare cases, people. So this is something that's like not fun to deal with.
No.
So they're trying to keep this out of the U.S. beef supply.
I will be totally honest. Before you had the poll question, I never even heard of the term screw worm.
I hadn't either.
But now I do. And now it's like, man, it is nasty. Yeah. It really is. If you look into what this thing can do, it's...
If people aren't aware, look at this thing. They have mouth parts that look like... If you blow this up to where it looks like something that you can see, it looks like a horror movie.
Yeah, if you put it under a...
microscope.
Yep.
Yeah, it's terrible. and that's the issue. You know, it causes these lesions and, you know, all kinds of problems in the living flesh of...
Well, it's parasitic, the host, isn't it?
Yeah, parasite. Yeah. Exactly. So the problem is that... Again, we eradicated this for the most part. In the U.S. back in the 60s, it's been prevalent in Latin American countries, South and Central America, and Mexico forever. And it's moving north. So they're trying to keep this out of the U.S. to not make it back into our country. Can they?
I fat I chance. Know. It's probably already here.
Do you know, I was reading the story. Do you know how they eradicated this in the U.S.?
Huh?
They took flies, mature male flies of this species, and sterilized them and released them into these areas where these things were prevalent in the U.S. And they mated with fertile females, and then over time, they just died off because they weren't producing young.
Right.
So that's how they did this back in the 60s. And... Interesting, you know. I mean, you would think, well, why don't we just spray for them? Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm not a bug specialist.
It is a pretty cryptic answer to the solution, but yeah. If it worked, hey.
Yeah, apparently it did. And I don't know, you know, what the deal is. Like earlier, we were talking about this. The Latin American countries, I don't know if they had the resources to do the same thing that the U.S. did back in the 60s. I don't know. What it is, but for the last few decades, six decades, it's been prevalent in those countries, and now it seems to be getting closer to the U.S. more and more every year. So that's where we're at. We do have a caller that's holding. Wait for us just a minute. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and get to you on the flip side of this on the Jackson Electric Open Lines Friday.
Listen to Jackson Electric and you'll feel the power. If it has anything to do with electricity, anything at all, call Jackson Electric. Commercial, residential, agricultural, it makes no difference. Call Jackson Electric. Jackson Electric does high-efficiency LED lighting and fire alarm systems installation. Wiring a home, wiring a business, new electrical service, or enlarging existing surface. Call Jackson Electric and you'll see the light at 1851 North Main in Sheridan.
Hi, Wyoming. It's Harriet Hageman. As we look toward the 119th Congress, I am excited to work with a Republican majority in White House to implement President Trump's agenda. My office is here to help you with all interactions with the federal government and has so far helped return $3.5 million to individuals. Please reach out to 307-261-6595 if my office can assist you. If you are having trouble with the IRS or VA, need help getting your passport, or have questions regarding another agency, please don't hesitate to contact my office at 307-261-6595. For more information, visit hageman.house.gov. While you are there, please sign up for our newsletter to stay informed on important votes and issues to Wyoming. I'm praying for you and your family, and we look forward to hearing from you. Paid for by official funds, authorized by the House of Representatives.
A-Line Roofing and Exteriors reminds listeners the holiday season is a time for caring, sharing, and celebration. But for area families, it's not such a joyous occasion. If you could please donate a warm coat, food item, or toy to your local church or donation center, A-Line Roofing and Exteriors, 554 East Brundage Lane, your roofing, siding, and gutter installation and repair experts, commercial or residential. Visit alineexteriors.com or call 307-763-1179.
The Sheridan County Housing Land Trust is currently accepting bids to finish the build-out of the Housing Land Trust's first project, Weston Village. This is a 30-unit single-family development, and RFP requests bids for 27 three-bed and two-bath single-family homes with an attached garage. As a part of the Housing Land Trust, these homes will be sold at prices that working residents can afford. For a copy of the RFP, please visit SheridanHLT.org or email SCHLT@SheridanHabitat.org. Bids will be accepted until 4 p.m. January 6, 2025.
Welcome back to the Jackson Electric Open Lines Friday News Talk, 930 KROE. Aaron Palmer, Ron Richter. And here's your opportunity. You can talk about what we're talking about, which one of the things is the screwworm infestation. Mr. Ron, you have the poll question. What was it again?
I do. Let me grab it here. The First Northern Bank of Wyoming poll question, how concerned are you that the screwworm infestation in Mexican cattle could affect beef prices in the U.S.? 69% said very concerned, 12% somewhat, 12% not, and 6% what the hell is this?
Which you said you fell into that category initially.
I did. Yeah, I did until I did a little research and was looking into it. And then I was like, yeah, this is not cool.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, it falls in line with kind of what I alluded to several times about, you know, our food supply is being tainted.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's
whether it's intentional or not is irregardless.
I don't think it's intentional. I think it's just we eat a lot of food.
Mm-hmm.
And sooner or later,
and the way that we do this, I mean, yeah, when you're talking, you've got all kinds of critters floating around on your lettuce or, you know, pesticides, whatever. I mean,
I don't want to ruin your breakfast, but you have no idea what you're actually eating.
I know. And if we knew, you know, the things that were allowed by the USDA, you know, how many bug parts are in cereal, you know, all that kind of stuff. People, so it's just stuff that we don't want to know.
Hot dogs get a bad rap. Hot dogs are the least of your concern, my friend.
Yeah,
I'm being brutally honest that, you know, hot dogs have always gotten a bad rap.
Yeah,
hot dogs are probably a lot better than 90% of the things you're actually eating. So, yeah.
You know, we talked about this before we went on the air, but like I've hunted my whole life, and my dad was this way, so there, ergo, I am as well, and I've passed this on to my kids as well. We process all of our own meat.
Right.
I don't take it to a meat locker. Not that I don't trust them or anything like that. It's the idea that I can process that to my
If you do
my
it yourself,
standards.
You,
right.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I understand it's when you logical. Have a meat locker or whatever, they're trying to get those things through as fast as they can, where I can actually go through and meticulously do things the way that I like. I'm not going to have a bunch of gristle and all that kind of stuff in there. And I don't like sawing through bones, you know, bone in anything. No, debone it. So I do that myself. And it's just, I prefer it that way.
So you're saying that you do not like your steak to be boned?
I don't like the bone in. Like a round steak where they cut through the bone and you got a bone in the center of it.
I agree, because to me, it affects the taste.
Exactly.
I don't care what anyone says. There is a difference in taste.
Right. Because you're getting bone fragments and other stuff that it's in the meat. You can't help it, you know, when you're sawing through it. And again, I'm not blaming, you know, the meat processors. It's part of the process.
Yeah.
But I prefer not to have that.
Some people like it, though.
Right.
Some people like the bone in. And they like it in the chicken, too. And I'm like, no, it just tastes weird to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, we do have a caller that's waiting. You're on the Jackson Electric Open Line Friday. Took me a minute to figure out where I was. Caller, go ahead.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
When I was a wee lad, which was shortly after the demise of the dinosaurs.
I'm with you.
Anyway, I happened to notice something that was going on. I told my mother, I said, the magpies are attacking the neighbor's bull. And she says, leave him alone for the time being. They're just picking the warbles out of his back.
Yeah.
This is a worm that works its way through the animal and comes out on their back. And it was not long before we saw people putting up back scratchers for the cows. And they were a pretty elaborate structure with some wire brushes on the underside and a oiler can on top. The cows would walk under this thing and scratch their backs, and it would actually put an insecticide on there that killed these bugs. And that's how we were able to keep ahead of a lot of that stuff that was in the meat, you might say.
Right.
Because you can imagine if you butchered one of these animals, you might come across one of those bugs that was working his way through one end to the other of the animal.
Yeah.
You know? And not a pleasant thing to think about.
No, not at all.
Sure.
I remember, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to say, I remember my dad and I went on a rabbit hunting trip. This was in Central Oregon 100 years ago. And we had harvested quite a few rabbits. And we were getting back to where we were going, and we were going to, you know, clean them and get them ready to go. And we found a bunch of worms in the meat as we were butchering them. And so, of course, we left them there because you can't eat them. So it's a lot more prevalent than people think.
Well, the other thing that occurred to me is if you look at these factory farms, you have a bunch of workers following a piece of equipment through the field, all processing, say, these particular vegetables and everything like that. Or if there's a bunch of them out in the field just working, they're in a line out there, getting paid by the hour. If they take a bathroom break, they get docked.
Yeah.
It's not unreasonable to assume that since these people are working on the vegetation out there, but now and then, some of them would opt to just squat in the field.
Sure.
Not a nice thing to think about, but...
but it's realistic. Know,
those are the things people have to think about.
Sure.
Absolutely. And that's it. It overseeing that and trying to keep ahead of that stuff, that was pretty common practice back in the old days, but I think they're paying more attention to that now.
Yeah. Yep, yeah.
So, yes, a lot of this stuff that comes from third world countries, if you want to call them that. I don't know if you call Mexico third world, but we've been to Mexico and seen how they operate, and their ideas of the standards of cleanliness down there have a lot to be desired.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think it's a fair assessment. If even if it's not 100% politically correct. I think that, yeah, I mean, third world countries, that's probably closer to reality than a lot of people would like.
Yeah, it is. There's no debating it. Yeah. I mean.
And then as far as shipping the beef up here to get processed, I don't think that happens. Now, back in the old days of the trail drives, the reason they brought them up to Abilene and so on was so they could put the cows on trains and take them back east to Chicago to butcher them.
Right.
But it doesn't make sense to haul live animals someplace when you can process them down there and reduce the weight by putting the meat in a refrigerator car, because we have refrigerator cars and containers now,
mm-hmm.
and just ship the product rather than the animal.
Well, yeah.
So those shipping the live animals would be tantamount to just bringing all the stuff that's crawling in them and on them across our border.
Right.
And that doesn't even make sense, right. Actually.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't know exactly how they do it, but that would make more sense to me. You know, if you butcher the animals down south, and then, you know, you're getting a lot more product per pound, I guess. You know, the amount of weight that you're putting in a car is a lot more product than it would be if it was a live animal. I agree.
Well, other than that, I think we're just waiting for winter to show up.
Right. It's crazy. It's supposed to be 60 degrees tomorrow.
We were just talking off air before the we came back on that it's 60 degrees Saturday.
Yeah.
What is 60 degrees?
I'm going to get the bike out again tomorrow.
I'm going to get my pedal bike out and go for a ride.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining.
No.
You know, we're going to get snow before Christmas, I will guarantee it. But, you know, if we have a couple more days where it's, you know, sunny and...
January, February, March, April, May, we'll get snow.
Oh, yeah. That's when we'll all be depressed.
Yeah. Well, it's been real, fellas. that was the last of my comments on that stuff. So.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have at it.
All right.
Thank you.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens with beef prices. I would imagine that it's probably going to get affected to some extent.
It will. And then, and, you know,
even, yeah, more great news.
But the real question is, how can you have your pudding if you don't eat your meat?
Well, we might be eating a lot of Jell-O and whatever else before too long.
I had to pull out the Pink Floyd quote.
Sure. And there's some people out there going, Pink Floyd, what?
Huh? Yeah,
what is that?
Another brick in the wall.
Right.
Listen to it. You probably learn a few things.
Maybe. All right. Let's talk about something else real quick. What do you think about the pardon? Joe Biden pardoning Hunter Biden.
In all honesty,
are you shocked?
No, I'm not shocked. And the actual pardon itself doesn't bother me. The fact that he literally said in a national interview on television that he would not do that and then did it, that's what bothers me.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of hypocrisy as well, because there were some people on the other side of the aisle that were screaming that Trump was going to do this preemptive thing for his kids, blah, blah, blah. And they were saying that that's, you know, big no-no, can't do that.
Right.
And then they're perfectly okay with Biden doing this. So I think that bothers me more than anything else, the hypocrisy involved.
I don't,
but
you know, the thing is, I don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
I have chihuahuas. They are my children.
Right.
So I could kind of, I relate the fact that, I mean, why wouldn't you do that for your son?
Understandable. As a father, yeah, I get it.
I don't have an issue with the pardon itself. I have an issue with everything around it, because then, you know, we wasted a lot of time on that trial, a lot of mm-hmm. time and money. You know, I mean, that's the thing that kind of gets to me, is people don't realize, you know, I mean, trials aren't free.
No.
They just don't happen.
Yeah.
There was a lot of money, a lot of, you know, a lot of people put a lot of time into this. And then all of a sudden, it's part.
For what? For nothing.
Well, and the thing is, he literally, what was it with David Muir on ABC News? He did the sit down and basically literally said on national television he would not pardon his son.
Mm-hmm.
And then he did. And, you know, he could have, for lack of a better term, wormed his way out of that.
Yeah.
Screw wormed his way out of that. by basically saying, I'm not going to answer that question right now because it's an ongoing case.
I can't say anything.
But no, he literally came out and said, no, I will not do that. And then he did.
Mm-hmm. The thing that bothers me, as you said, being a parent, I understand wanting to protect your child. But if you have any semblance of, this is my opinion, any semblance of fairness, number one, and wanting to correct your children the right way. I mean, nobody wants to see their children get in trouble, but if they pull some boneheaded stuff, you know, me as a parent, I would look at that and go, you know, maybe they should sit their hiney in jail for a night, or maybe they need to, you know, deal with the consequences for whatever it was that they did, because they're going to learn something and then maybe not do this kind of stuff in the future. So it's a tough love situation for me. And, you know, I don't know if he was guilty of any of this. You know, who knows?
Oh, he is guilty of it.
So we're
right. There's video photos of him with the hookers and the hotel and the gun and the cocaine and whatnot. You know, it's like, well, that's what Congress does.
And the gun.
I mean, if you want to be honest
charges,
about it.
And the gun charges, we knew he did that.
You can go to any hotel in Washington, D.C. on a weekend and find
see
it.
All kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah, you know, I get it. I mean, so, and I think depending on who you listen to, you know, there are a lot of people that think that Biden pardoned him because he was concerned that maybe, just maybe, some of the stuff that may have come out in this trial or the, you know, the more looking into this type stuff, that maybe the finger might get pointed back to the big guy.
Right.
You know, and I don't know whether that's true or not, but there are people that believe that. It's not out of the realm of possibility by any stretch of the
imagination. I'm sure there's some validity to it because, I mean...
And I don't necessarily think that Biden himself is the one that's, quote-unquote, pushing the buttons or pulling the strings.
No, it's...
Somebody else involved that's looking at the entire administration going, this whole thing, house of cards could completely come down.
His son's a turd.
True.
I mean, let's just be honest. I'm not trying to name or, you know, cast names, but I mean, he's not a good guy.
No, I don't think there's much redeeming quality.
He has had every opportunity. You know what I mean? I mean, the common person does not have the opportunities that Hunter Biden has had throughout his life.
Sure.
And he literally has just kind of turded all over them, for a lack of a better term. I'm just saying. I mean, if you and I had those opportunities, we would have taken advantage of the opportunities instead of just been like, let's get hookers and go to a hotel.
And do a bunch of blow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of a sudden he's a gangster with his gun. I mean, come on, dude. You are a gangster. You're
an entitled brat.
Yes, there you go. I mean,
with
a firearm. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, it's the part that really makes me mad. It's like, well, you know, come on, dude. You know, you had every opportunity to do something positive to make an imprint on this world, and So. Whatever, you know.
Well, I hope he enjoyed himself.
Well,
he probably didn't remember much.
The videos sure show that he did.
Wow. You know, and I've seen pictures that they've released of, you know, that whole point in his life where he was doing that. And it's like, you know, I had friends that were doing some shady stuff back in the day. And he looked way worse than
I'm not trying to you know, cast judgment, but I mean, come on. You were given a golden ticket and you flushed it down the toilet.
Yeah. The thing that bothers me also about this is it's a blanket pardon.
Yeah.
not just stuff that he was convicted of. It was stuff that he might have done in the last 11 years that we don't even know about.
And like I said, I don't fault Joe for doing what he did. I fault him for saying he would not do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
That to me, it's like, well, then, you know, how do we ever, you know.
Which side of your mouth are you talking through this day?
Hey, you know, honesty, it's my only excuse. I mean, let's just put it out there. I mean, if you can't be honest, then get the hell out of here.
Well, if you can't be honest, run for political office. Did I say that out loud?
And it's basically the truth. I mean, they do. They talk out of both sides of their mouth. All of them. My dad was a politician for a while, and he said, you know what? No good politicians exist, and he got out of it. He was a House of Representatives in the state of North Dakota for one term, and he said, I can't do it anymore. There's so much dishonesty and distrust and lying and yada yada. So,
well, you know, that should be telling us all something.
Yeah. And that was, gosh, that was in the 80s. You know, it's only
before it got really crazy.
Yeah. Back before the, I won't even go there. I'll just get in trouble.
Well, anyway, I guess great news for all of us. We're going to have higher beef prices right before Christmas.
Oh, jeez. Well, has you seen the price of eggs?
They went up again.
Yeah. It's because of the salmonella or some whatever. You know, people are getting sick from eggs. So,
well, I'm glad we've got a friend.
The bird flu. I don't know what it is. I can't keep up with all the.
We've got a friend that actually gives us cackleberries.
So yeah, well, we have eggs too. We have chickens.
So. There you go. So we're not adversely affected much.
No,
but we still have to go to the store and buy eggs.
A majority of the country is. You know, I mean, eggs are a staple.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know.
Okay.
Yeah, what that'll is it? Do it. The bird flu.
I guess. Yeah. That'll do it, Ron. We made it through another week.
Another week.
All right. That'll do it for the Jackson Electric Open Lines Friday. Thanks for joining us, Ron. Have a great weekend.
Arrivederci.
Go ride your...
I will.
To the most complex electrical applications, Jackson Electric has the knowledge, the experience, and the reputation to meet and exceed any electrical need or requirement. Jackson Electric's expertise even includes phone systems, data systems, LED lighting systems, fire alarm systems, and irrigation systems. Residential, commercial, industrial, agriculture. If it has anything to do with electricity, anything at all, Jackson Electric does it all at 1851 North Main in Sheridan.
It's back. Deluxe Harley-Davidson brings the roadshow to Sheridan Saturday, December 7th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza with new 2024 Harley-Davidson motorcycles and trikes for sale. Winter service specials and show specials on men's and women's clothing, including $100 leather jackets and Harley-Davidson holiday merchandise. Deluxe Harley-Davidson's roadshow at Sheridan's Ramada Plaza Saturday, December 7th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. See you there.
The UCross Foundation invites everyone to the 12th Annual Community Christmas Celebration, Saturday, December 14th, starting at 4 p.m. sharp at the Raymond Plank Center. The event will feature a special Christmas story by author Craig Johnson, music from the Toot Tracks, caroling by the Buffalo High School Balladeers, fireworks, festive refreshments, crafts for kids, and more. For details and free tickets, visit ucross.org or call 307-737-2291.
It's time once again for Moss Holders Design Center's annual snowflake sale. Stop by Moss Holders, choose the items you want to buy, and then you'll get to draw a snowflake for a random discount. Every customer will receive at least 10% off, but several customers will get 15%, 25%, and 30% off their purchases. One lucky customer will draw our 50% off snowflake, receiving half off their entire purchase. Let Moss Holders add some fun to your Christmas shopping this year. Moss Holders Snowflake Sale runs through Monday, December 23rd. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
Hey, Doug, it's time to take advantage of the Red Tag Sales event that's on now at Waring Chevrolet.
That's right, Bob. We've got three 2024 Chevy half-ton Silverados with up to
$7,250 in rebates. Talk about big red tag savings there.
And if you're riding a 25 Silverado half ton, you're in luck. You can choose $1,000 in rebates.